You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on today's show,
Joe takes bad financial advice and moves to Germany to coach the Munich Ravens.
Josh Browning thinks he's a top 32 quarterback, and Hawk thinks CJ Stroud is top 5 in the league.
Panthers owner David Tepper spilled his drink on a fan, and Jameis Winston adds another reel to his shacked in a fool worthy career.
All of this and much, much more on this race-friendly, fat and atlas, New Year's same pod episode of the Tomahawk Show.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Now, most of you have been playing this game for 10 years. You got two more quarters, and after that, most of you will never play this game again.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Football's fun?
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun. You sure?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the world-famous Tomahawk Show, brought to you by the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Hawkins, former NFL wide receiver and media personality, joined by the humblest of all co-hosts, NFL 10-time Pro Bowler, Pro Football Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, and all of the above, and now first-year coach for the Munich Ravens, my dog Joe Thomas is in the building. Joe, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing amazing. I know I told you I was in Germany, but as you can see by this palm tree over my shoulder, I'm actually in a broom closet somewhere near you in Miami.
That is what we call in the culture, cap. Also joining us in person, live and in direct, Juju Gotti, Waycross's favorite son in the building. Juju, how you doing today, man?
Pretty good, brother. How you doing,
man? I'm good. You got a Naysayer t-shirt on.
Bro, you got a goatee, and I can't see nothing but this goatee. I haven't heard nothing but goatee all morning. So salute to that goatee.
How do we feel about my goatee?
I don't feel great about it.
You don't feel great about it. All right.
I love you. You're a handsome, attractive brother, so you don't have no problems, but I don't know if I feel great about the goatee.
I thought this was going to be a nice change of pace. Joe, what are your thoughts on the goatee?
I don't know many brothers that have a goatee, Hawk, but some reason, just like you do a good job of like splitting the line between black and white on cultural issues, like you do the same thing with facial hair issues.
Thank you, man.
And I'm really respecting it, but I think what you need to do is like the big Steve Harvey bushy mustache, which would really give you that 51% white guy in my book. And I promise to do the same being in Germany. And I think it would be a great thing for the Tomahawk Show to see if we could get Juju with a nice fat mustache as well.
The fact that you think I want to be 51% white guy, number one. Number two, you picked the worst week for me to be Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey has been getting crushed on social media. Thanks to a world-famous Cat Williams interview with Shannon Sharp.
Bro, you look like you got beef with Liu Kang right now.
All right, so I got low approval ratings on the mustache. Speaking of low approval ratings, Joe, I need a grade from you. Thanks. On Germany. Joe has moved to Germany officially, everybody. He is now in Germany. I believe Munich is where he is directly. Joe, how has it been so far in your new land?
It's been A+. You know, in life, I like doing hard things. I like adventure. And as soon as things got really comfortable in Wisconsin in retirement, I'm like, you know what I need to do is just rip my family out of America, out of their comfortable lives in Wisconsin, and go pay to coach the Munich Ravens football team in Germany and live in the city and just completely flip their life on their head. And it's been everything we've asked for. It's been confusing. It's been funny. It's been full of tears. And today we took the kids to school, and on the way home, the entire city was shut down by an enormous tractor farmer truck driver protest, which was very incredible because it felt like you're in the middle of history as you see all these like news cameras. However, I don't really know anything about what it was all about, but it feels cool because it's exciting and it's new. Just like your mustache. That's why I like your mustache and your goatee thing going on there.
It's adventurous. I like that. So, okay. So are you the, what is your title for the coach? You are coaching for the Munich Ravens. Are you the offensive coordinator or offensive line coach?
It's funny. Everyone's asking me like, so are you the head coach or like you the offensive coordinator? And I'm like, nah, that's way too much responsibility for me. I don't know if you noticed when I said that I am paying to coach the Munich Ravens. Therefore, I would not accept any role above offensive line coach. That's just perfect for me. And actually, the great and famous Bob Wiley of Hard Knocks fame is one of my assistant offensive line coaches. So the two of us are double teaming these German guys. And if you can cut that up and put that's that crazy on social media, that might get a few clicks.
Well, yeah, especially from the way you worded that. But also, you guys might have a better offensive line coaching tandem than a lot of NFL teams right now. How much are you getting paid, Joe?
So I'm getting 1,000 euros, not per day, not per week, but per month.
Nice.
Which is a hefty paycheck when you consider that my rent is 5,800 euros per month. So not even including the English private school that the kids have to go to, or the cost of living in Munich, which is pretty high, or just the general bouginess that I live my life. I'm losing on rent alone $4,800 a month to be able to come out here for my little adventure. So it's another great investment, along with joining you on the Tomahawk Show after all these years. So I feel like it's just one great investment in my financial retirement after another.
Worth it.
This is why I handle all the business for Tomahawk Show, Juju, because the kid has shit for brains and he doesn't have no basic math that you shouldn't pay five times the amount of rent that you're making.
Bro, you look like Scottie Pippen that 1 year he had to go to.
Well, at least I didn't buy the private plane like Scottie Pippen did.
Yeah.
You took the goatee. I took his financial advice.
You look like you own the lamb.
All right. So you're losing all your money, Joe, in Munich, but you're enjoying the experience. Your kids are in school. Was today their first day of school?
It was. Yeah, it was really cool. And I actually had like that first day of school jitters that you had, you know, when you're in kindergarten and then you go to first day of middle school, high school. Like even I remember first day in the NFL, right? When your eyes are wide and you're nervous, you got those butterflies. Because like I mentioned, like we had a great life in Wisconsin. There was nothing wrong with it. My children out of their comfortable life to take them to Germany to put them in school where their classmates are trying to speak to them in German. So I feel there's a lot of pressure on them having like a great experience, even though we're only going to be here for 8 months. So it was definitely like a great feeling when one, you dropped them off and they were not crying. And two, you picked them up from school and they were shouting at you, but they were shouting like, hey, it was a lot of fun. We had a great day, made some new friends. And everybody in my school was swearing.
Yeah. My kids would never, there is no way my kids would be able to handle that. Absolutely not. I get that pressure because you're probably building a lot of childhood trauma in them right now. And it's going to be all your fault. So this is a lot of pressure. This goes great. You're the man. If it goes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's terrible. Daddy's going to be alone.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off.
Support your journey to wellness at BIOPTIMIZERS.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Been on Christmas for a long time.
Damn.
Are you ready for that kind of pressure?
So we're minus 4,800 euros just rent alone. And then now, if I think to the future, what is the present value discount rate of the therapy that they're going to have to go through later in life that I'm going to have to pay for for this little German experience? So the numbers are not looking any better as we continue to talk about it.
All right. As we put a button on the Munich Ravens update, Joe is going to be doing all his Tomahawk shows from live Munich, Germany. We found out my little cousin actually played for the team he's coaching for. Telling us the whole time he was going here, and he sent like a player, and it was like a logo, and I'm like, that logo looks familiar.
Yeah.
Come to find out, my little cousin X-Ree was a linebacker for this team a year ago, and I said, are you going back? And he said, no, there's just not enough money. So I got to go somewhere else. And I'm like, well, one of my buddies is there as the assistant to the assistant offensive line coach. He's paying the coach, and maybe he will give you some of the salary he's not getting so you can come back. Did you get a report on him? Was he any good?
Yeah, so actually the guys remembered him, the coaches remembered him, and they said he was a great player, and they wish he would have come back. But like you said, not a lot of money here in NFL pseudo-Europe here. But the reason we started talking about that, Hawk, is because all my buddies that either currently play in the NFL and they're kind of getting to the end or are recently retired, I've been teasing them. Like you, like, hey, you should come back. We got a spot for you. And so I sent you the video of our new receiver to see if you felt a little intimidated by his quickness. And I felt there was a little jealousy, a little nervousness. And that's why you had to kind of start firing some stuff back to let me know that you still had it and that you were the same old Hawk. Maybe once, not for a whole season, but I think we could still get one game out of you.
I don't think, A, you could get a game out of me. Because I am very good at business, and I understand what your salary cap is, number one. Number two, I have a strong feeling your health insurance is not as great as it should be for someone my age to try to come back and play football. And I'm going to be paying for whatever injuries I incur for the rest of my life, right, which is something I also don't want to be doing, Joe.
Yeah, hopefully you fudged some of those reports when you left the NFL and added some extra injuries so that, like, when you accrue the injuries in the ELF, you can go back and say, oh, yeah, I got those in the NFL, that broken leg and ACL tear. That was actually from my time in New England. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. They're the Patriots.
They are.
And it was not me being carried off on a stretcher after my first ELF play.
ELF, that's what it is. All right, so I'm going to become playing in the ELF. Which sounds like you're making a derogatory term towards me. But let's get into some headlines, because I'm sure your owner does not have as much money as the Panthers owner. And the Panthers owner was videoed throwing a drink on an opposing Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Juju, I'm going to start with you. What were you thinking when you saw old David Tepper tossing a drink on a fan he was pissed at?
Bruh, that was the lamest thing I done seen that week. Last week, that was the lamest thing of the week, joke of the week, David Tepper. If you're going to throw a drink on somebody, number one, you square, you lame, put every word against it. Uh-huh. But you're going to throw it from a high position down on people who can't even get back at you?
That's
double square, bro. That's so. And you the owner, the leader of men. I don't know, that how much you got fined for that?
$300,000.
I think it should have been higher, bro, a little bit, because just because how square it
was.
That
ain't nothing to him. You know what I mean? $300,000 ain't nothing.
That's like he on a basketball wife throwing drinks in faces.
He's a very rich person. It does not surprise me that he is new to the NFL and he just went back into how he always is, probably with regular humans, because he has so much money. Have you ever thrown a drink on somebody?
Hell no.
Never threw a drink on anybody.
Never in my entire life.
Joe, have you ever thrown a drink on somebody?
No, that's the softest move ever.
Right.
Like, who throws a drink? It reminds me of the Austin Powers. Who throws a drink?
You know where this is going, Carl. Right. I've thrown a drink on people. I have. That's my version of, like, you know, I want the fight to start.
Yeah.
And that is my version of getting it. It's either that or you hit somebody. This is in my younger days when I was a little bit more feisty and it was always the first thing I went to. But I've absolutely thrown a drink in somebody's face and said, let's get to it. And you know what happened after that, Juju?
We got to it.
That's step two.
Yeah, you're right about it.
You know, when you fight a lot, that just comes along with the territory. See, Joe don't have to fight because he's 6'8", and people assume that he can fight. See, me, I'm the kind of, I'll never assume that. I need you to show me.
Yeah.
And probably a couple times.
Yeah.
Because I'll come back. I don't mind losing. So we're probably going to have to fight at least three times before I get it into my head.
These days, I assume everybody know record? UFC. Like, yeah, I don't want to fight nobody.
Nowadays, it's a different world. Right. Either UFC or they got a gun. Right. I was in the right era for that. So if you're that fan, what are you doing, Juju?
Man, I'm trying to get up this rail. Or no, matter of fact, do I know that it's David Tepper?
You know it's David Tepper.
Oh, I'm falling out. My eyes burning out. I can't see. And I'm finna bump my head on the steps. I'm traumatized. I can't even go back to work tomorrow.
Bumping your head on the steps is a vet move.
You feel me?
Yes. That's absolutely, because they can't prove head trauma.
Right.
That is you gotta act like it's acid, bump your head off the railer, and then just start convulging in the middle of the aisle and make sure it's on video.
It got to be. Got to be. That'll be my Panthers.
He got to be the worst owner in the league. And for I don't sure. even like to make that assertion. But at this stage, if you're throwing drinks on people, right. it was one of those moments where whenever it happened, it made all the other business moves make sense.
Right.
Where it was like, oh, okay, now I know what's going on with the organization.
Right. That's why you took Bryce Young instead of CJ Stroud. Okay,
like everything started adding up to me, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he instantly knew that he's just insulated himself with people that are yes men his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he's got no ability to have somebody tell him something he doesn't like to hear, right? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obvious, like after firing a couple coaches here back-to-back seasons, that he really doesn't have the ability to make level-headed decisions that you have to as an owner. And if he throws a drink on me, you know what I'm doing? First thing I'm doing is I'm going right into the bathroom. I'm licking every square inch of that thing, and I'm going with all those
hold on 1 second, brother. What do you mean
I'm
by
say,
that?
Hey,
this drink
is a family show, Joe.
Gave me all of these diseases. I'm practically dead. I gave it to all my family members.
Oh,
the amount of money that he's going to have to pay me off to not take him to court is at least half of his entire... I'm going to be a part owner of the Carolina Panthers by the end of the week.
Well, you definitely committed more than anybody else.
Right.
You probably deserve whatever they give you with that, buddy.
They turned to the outbreak monkey for the cash.
He was like, I'll double down. Joe, you're a wild boy, man. I love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Tomahawk Show. When we come back, we're going to get into the Black Monday that was. All right? Coming up soon.
Drop the bass, DJ.
All right, to kick off talking about Black Monday, we're going to start with the Jameis Winston play, because I do feel like the way that Jameis Winston ended the game on Sunday directly contributed to at least one coach losing their job. So if you don't know what happened, Jameis Winston was put in the game, the backup quarterback, in a game where the New Orleans Saints were winning 41-17, and he was asked to get in the victory formation and kneel it out. Jameis famously said that the team in the huddle decided that, no, they were going to give the ball to Jamal Williams to ensure that he got his, you know, first and only touchdown of the season. Saints players were happy. Dennis Allen was not. He went to go shake hands with then-Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith had a bunch of choice words for him that started with the letter F and rhymed with Ool Smith. And... you know, Jameis Winston came out and apologized to Dennis Allen. He said that, you know, it was a team decision. Team decision that the head coach was not a part of, apparently. And then, you know, everyone had differing opinions, Joe. Even Shannon Sharp called for Jameis Winston to be cut immediately because he was not listening to the request of the head coach. Joe, I have a feeling I know what your take is going to be, but as an offensive line coach for the Munich Ravens, how would you handle a situation like this?
I'm just wondering if we ask Jameis Winston, is he a captain on this team? Does he really believe that he is still a captain? Because I feel like as much as I enjoy Jameis, because he's great content and he always comes up with some interesting stuff, I feel like he's pretty convinced that he's still like the captain of the ship. And he's not ready to relinquish that role or that mentality. And so when he says, yeah, it's a team decision, like, I'm pretty convinced that he is definitely in his mind like the leader in that locker room still.
Right.
No question. I mean, Jameis has main character energy every time, which is why you love him. And I think also his teammates love him. And they backed him up. If you watch the play, everybody was in on like, yeah, we're getting this dude a touchdown. We don't care what the coach says. So is that more indicative on Jameis Winston, or is that more indicative of what they feel about the Saints head coach, Juju?
Right. I think whatever indicative is within or without, I think if you don't want us to score this touchdown, stop us from scoring the damn touchdown. Don't come out here giving me the unwritten rules. You sad. Bro, you are a rival. The Falcons and the Saints been rivals. Uh-huh. Bro, we scored a touchdown and got y'all coach fired, sent his ass home with the Falcons. I would love to say that as if you my rival. So salute to Jameis Winston. It was indicative, though, to answer
yeah,
your question.
Yeah, I think Jameis should probably get both coaches fired. And that would be that would make Jameis right. even more the GOAT if he got his coach fired and the other coach fired. And I was with you. I'm kind of like, I didn't see the play before I saw the controversy around it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, stop him. This is football. I don't subscribe to the whole unwritten rules, mercy. Like, yo, we're getting paid out here.
Yeah.
Every play matters to somebody. And then I saw the play. And they absolutely lined up in a victory formation as if they were going to kneel it out on the one.
You got to keep your head on swivel, bro.
And turned around and handed it off. I would have respected it more if Jameis was like, yo, just get in the regular formation.
Yeah.
Show them we're going to run a play so that the defense can adjust accordingly. It was absolutely a dirty move, but I don't think that was Jameis' intention.
I think it was better this way. I respect him more for victory formation, running it through there.
Jameis might be a little bit of a lunatic, but he's my kind of lunatic.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Just what I feel about it, Joe.
You got to love Jameis because this just plays perfectly into his brand, into his personality. Like, he's so delusional. He doesn't even realize that if they line up in victory formation and run a play, that's offensive on every level, no matter who they're playing, no matter what the situation is. Like, you have told them, we've given up. The game is over. We don't want anybody to get hurt. And then to hand it off to your running back and try to score and then be excited about it and say, yeah, it was a team decision. Like, that's why we love Jameis Winston, because it doesn't make sense to any human being that has any common sense has played any level of football. But to Jameis, it makes perfect sense.
NFC Player of the Week, bro. In my book.
Play Caller of the Week and everything. I think Jameis Winston's highlight tape outside of playing football is going to be better than his actual out. And not because he doesn't make plays. Jameis is a really good quarterback. That's the other thing, that Jameis is actually underappreciated for his actual abilities.
Right.
Like, he's a really good, talented quarterback, but you see why all these other things have held him back, because there is some decision-making. When he was coming out of college and they were talking about the crab legs, and I'm like, I don't trust him on the field, because typically in my experience, how you approach life is how you approach football. So if you're a bad decision maker off the field, you're probably going to be a bad decision maker on the field. And I'll be damned if that might not have been my best take on earth, because this was a bad decision. And it was a badly executed decision. Even if you make the decision to line up in victory formation and then score is a I hope people realize how wild that is, Juju.
Yeah, bro. Knowing Jameis, how we know Jameis now, don't it make you see that Florida State crab leg situation just a slightly different? He probably walked out like, I know the person who gave me these.
He really thought it was okay. Right. Knowing what I know now about Jameis, that is a perfect point, Juju. We need to revisit that entire scandal because even this situation, I don't feel like anybody's really mad except Shannon Sharp.
Right.
Who, I love Unk. But he's the only one who takes this, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, that's Jameis being Jameis. His teammates think that. The Falcons, I'm sure, are like, hey, man, that's what you get when you sign up with Jameis Winston.
Right, right.
That crab leg situation, yeah, you're right. We need to do a revisionist history lesson, because I need to see the security cam. Because I can promise you, the way that everyone saw it was not the way it was playing in Jameis' mind.
Not at all. Not even a second of it.
All right. So Arthur Smith gets fired, and there's a lot of conversation around a lot of coaches, a lot of teams. Josh McDaniels was out this year, Frank Reich, Brandon Staley. At the taping of this podcast, we don't know what's going on with Bill Belichick yet. It feels like there's going to be a parting of ways between he and the Patriots, and I think it could make sense. Joe, from where you sit at this moment, do you think the Patriots should, A, move on from Bill Belichick? And if so, what is Bill Belichick's next move?
I think it's the perfect time for them to move on. I think it's a difficult decision for everybody, but it's the right time to do it. And honestly, I think Bill Belichick has made those cold-blooded decisions his entire career with everybody, going back to Richard Seymour, to when they've split with Tom Brady, that he's actually expecting it, because he knows that he's beyond his time there and that his message is being lost on the boys there in New England. And the fact that they have such a high draft pick and they can replace their quarterback right now, Mac Jones, with whoever they want in the draft and kind of start over, it's a good reset for everybody. And I think Bill would probably appreciate the fact that he's going to get the axe in a cold-blooded way, the way he's given it to so many other players throughout his career. And he'll probably find a pretty good landing spot, because there's going to be several teams. I'm not going to say a lot, because I do think there's plenty of owners who think, kind of like I've been saying, that, you know, maybe the Bill Belichick days at the NFL have passed him a little bit, because his ability to connect with players maybe isn't there the way it used to be, when he could just turn the lights off and torture them into reading their playbooks and showing up to practice on time. And you got to kind of change your approach a little bit, but there's still a few owners out there. And I think there's teams that are stacked, namely the LA Chargers, that have a great quarterback that would gladly sign Bill Belichick or make some type of minimal trade to be able to get him.
I love that. Live by the gun, you die by the gun take when it comes to Bill Belichick. It always, every gangster movie you've ever seen,
right,
you've seen the biggest tyrant go out the way that they lived their life.
Right. Robert Kraft with a tear coming out of his eyes. I am my brother's keeper. Yes, man, I am.
It happens every time. I love that. That is a great take from Joe. The thing I love about the Tomahawk Show in this current iteration is I can take Joe's takes that he gives me on Monday, go throughout the rest of the week on ESPN and just spit them like they're mine. There was a time when this was reversed and Joe was on like Thursday Night Football and I was giving great take. He would just go take them and put them on national TV. This is why there's a brotherhood here.
See, nah, this is what Cat Williams was talking about, bro. This is what Sandra Entertainer did, Cat Williams, and this is not right. I stealing stand for takes. Joe. Don't be stealing, bro.
Nah, I still takes. Joe knows I still takes. We share takes, man. I give him some takes. He gives me some takes. You know?
Yeah, fair exchange.
You know, it keeps us afloat. That's
at least y'all in cahoots.
We in cahoots.
Exactly. Getting Mina Kimes tapes or somebody.
Exactly. Anytime you hear Joe breaking down receiver film, trust me, that came from me. 1,000% he texts me on the side. And if I'm ever talking about offensive line play, it's 1,000% something that Joe said to me.
Nice.
And I'm on there acting like I'm an expert. All right, in the coaching carousel, there will also be another name that will probably be inserted, and that is that of Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh playing in the national championship at this moment. I think he played in the national championship by the time this airs.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations, Jim Harbaugh, on the big-time victory against Washington. But also, you know, he suffered a tough loss.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh did. That way, you know.
To Penix, everybody over there, man, and them boys.
Yeah, Penix, man, congrats on the national champ. That way all of our bases are covered, Juju. Right. You are a media titan over here. All right, that being said, Joe, does Jim Harbaugh leave college and go to the NFL?
I don't think he does. Honestly, I think he really likes where he is at Michigan. Mm. And I think he realizes that he's got enough self-awareness that he's not normal enough to be able to get along with an owner in the NFL for longer than just a few years. And I think the comfort that he's built himself at his alma mater allows him a great level of freedom to be weird and quirky and bend the rules as much as he possibly can at Michigan. And he's going to be forever forgiven. So I don't think he really wants to leave. And I think he's getting paid plenty of money. And I don't think he's searching for that next challenge, even though a lot of people are going to say, oh, he's going to want to be able to do it at the NFL level. Like, I think he just loves football and he wants to win. And he doesn't care if it's Pee Wee football. He doesn't care if it's the Elf League coaching Andrew Hawkins over here in Munich, or if it's at Michigan in college football in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think I disagree. Yeah. I do believe he's quirky. I do believe he just genuinely loves football. Yeah. But I do think he has that kind of personality, like the dad in Talladega Nights, where if you're in a spot for too long and it's going too good, you got to blow the shit up and move on. I feel like he's reached that point with Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, he played there. He came back to bring him back to national prominence.
Right.
Clearly, he's done that job.
Right.
I think he wants to get back to the NFL and win the Super Bowl that escaped him
because
he lost to his brother in the big game. They are a football family. His dad was a coach. And I read this in his Wikipedia. 6 or 7 years while he was playing in the NFL, he was a volunteer unpaid coach with Western Kentucky, which was a 1AA team his dad was the head coach of. And he would recruit. He would coach throughout the whole offseason. And he had the same salary that Joe has right now with the Munich Ravens because he just loved football. Yeah. And, you know, he wanted to be around it, which is why he's so successful. I think he is going to be the most coveted person in this NFL cycle. I think he's going to get one of those jobs.
Yeah.
Specifically, I could see the Los Angeles Chargers making the most sense and him going to try to win a Super Bowl, Joe.
Dang.
You mentioned unpaid, and you said we had the same salary. Technically not true, because I'm actually paying to coach the Munich Ravens while he was doing it for free at Western Kentucky. So Does that mean that I love football more than Jim Harbaugh?
You might.
Does. It does.
I think it does. Because you also went to Germany. Because right. I love football. I'm not moving to Germany.
Right. Moved his family to Germany.
I don't know. What's worse for the Hawkins family? Western Kentucky or Germany? I feel like you might be more welcome in Germany than the Hawkins family going to Western Kentucky.
That's a damn good point. And I don't know. I don't think I'd be welcome in either spot. I'll go to Atlanta. How about it, Juju?
Hey.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of Am I Tripping in the NFL playoffs. All right, now let's get into a little bit of a Am I Tripping, one of our favorite segments here on the Tomahawk Show. I'm going to read a statement and then pose it as a question to both Joe and Juju to see if I am tripping. All right, in his post-game interview, after beating the Browns B team, Bengals quarterback number 2, Jake Browning, said, "I'm one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the world and happen to be on the roster with a quarterback who's proven to be top 5. Am I tripping, or has Jake Browning proved he can be a great QB1 in this league, Joe?"
No, he's not proved that. Come on, man. Like, we know that everybody in the NFL is looking for a top-tier quarterback, right? That doesn't mean top 10 or top 5. That just means they believe that this is a guy that can take them to the Super Bowl, not a guy that can win them some games or get them to the playoffs. I believe that everybody is either looking for that top-tier quarterback, or they got a guy that's keeping them around and keeping them with their jobs, which obviously as a head coach and GM, that's what your number one priority is, not get fired. But in the end, they're always looking to replace that guy to get a top-tier guy that can win him a Super Bowl, and I do not believe he is one of those guys that will win a Super Bowl in his NFL career.
Oh, man, Joe, you're so cynical, man. What happened to the inspirational sports story? What happened to the underdog story, man? The guy that finally got his shot and proved he could do it, Juju. No love for Jake Browning?
All right, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to put it like this. The brother looked high. Because I do not believe, he don't believe what he's saying. Like, salute to Jake Browning. Man, I'm so happy for your success. But you are valuable QB2, bro. You are valuable. QB1 go down, I think he the best QB2 to have, I think, right now in the NFL. I call him that.
Yeah.
But not best. QB1. I can't give
no
him the
keys. QB1? No QB1 love?
Okay, the Falcons, they can try out Desmond Ridder. They can give him the job. But only in Atlanta. That's
only
what,
in Atlanta.
Jake Browning, only in Atlanta.
So he's number 32 exactly, is what you're saying.
It's like, on the nail on the head.
A good indicator for anybody who's in that scenario is whenever you are playing well, who is the person that they're giving the praise to, right? And I right. think you see that illustrated by these Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel teams. When they were talking about MVP, everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson being the favorite, and I agree. Right. And they're like, well, what about Browning? Look at his numbers. What about what about Purdy? Look at his numbers. Look at Tua's numbers. What about McCaffrey? What about and these are great players, right. But we sit on this podcast and talk about Kyle Shanahan, drink Mike McDaniel, yeah. And in that same scenario with Browning, everyone talked about the job Zach Taylor has done. Mm. Not that he found some player that nobody even saw coming.
Right.
And unfortunately for Browning, he's going to have to get to another situation, mm-hmm. prove it again, and probably even more for people to actually assert that he's a top 32 quarterback.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with being Brian Hoyer. Ain't nothing wrong with being a journeyman.
Andrew Clearly. Hawkins. You Ain't nothing me? Wrong with it, man. Ain't Come on over here and get you a mic. You what you got, me? Joe?
I'm just saying, if I could talk to him, I would say, okay, if you think you're tier one quarterback, you think you're a starter in the NFL, that's great. Who are you replacing? Like, tell me who in the NFL that an NFL team is going to kick to the curb and sign you to a long-term quarterback contract.
Right.
Mm. Tannehill.
I mean, we already said Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder. That's two.
I don't think.
But those guys are already being fired. Like, they're already looking for their replacement. And do you think they want to sign another Desmond Ridder? Like, no. You got to tell me an organization is going to stake their future on him.
Who you want? You want Browning or you want Baker Mayfield, Joe? You're the GM.
I'm taking Baker. Like, he's played really well this season. I know his numbers have been up and down a little bit, but
that's the Baker Mayfield experience.
He elevated his offense a few times this season, got him some wins. I don't think Baker's a tier one quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think he is much more mature than he was in Cleveland. but he still has some of that emotional up and down that I think plays into like the momentum of his season, where he has a hard time coming back from if he plays a bad game or he makes a bad throw. But I think overall, he's proven that he can be a starter in the NFL. And I think there's going to be some of these analytics teams. This is your take for ESPN on Thursday.
Thank you.
There's going to be some of these analytics teams that are looking at the number of injuries that these big dollar starting quarterbacks have gotten this season. And they're saying, hey, it's too risky to put all of this money into one guy who has a high injury rate in today's NFL, where these quarterbacks are much more mobile and getting out of the pocket, unlike Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, who just stood there and never got hurt. And so they're going to take the opposite approach that everybody's taking now and say, hey, we'll take a good quarterback. We'll pay him a decent salary, $20-25 million a year. And then we'd rather spread that money between a backup quarterback and then some of our other key positions so that we're safe and we're insured in case our starting quarterback likely does get hurt at some point during the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. And I think to Browning's point, he should be doing that. He's an exclusive rights free agent. I was an exclusive rights free agent. Let me tell you what exclusive rights free agent means. Shit. That means that your option as a free agent this offseason is to accept the league minimum deal that your team gives you, or you don't play in the NFL. Damn. There's no opportunity to match it. There's no opportunity to seek other teams. If a team says we want to sign you back, you sign the league minimum to that contract. So the fact they even call it exclusive rights free agent is BS, and he knows that. Damn. And so he's using this as a little bit of a campaign to say, like, oh, this might be the last time y'all see me for a while. Right. So I want you to remember what I'm saying and what I did here.
Right.
And I'll see y'all in 2 years.
Yeah. It went nothing wrong with what he did. I understand it completely.
You get it.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Transitioning to a quarterback that it's going to be hard to argue is not one of the top 32. CJ Stroud has been a revelation for the Houston Texans. Since he hit the ground running in his rookie regular season, Stroud finished with 4,108 yards, 26 total TDs, 64% completion rate, and only 5 interceptions. And the Texans finished first in their division with a first-year head coach and a rookie quarterback. Am I tripping, or is CJ Stroud the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen?
Oof, ever. Wow.
Ever? Not even close.
Look, I think you might be right. I'm a prisoner of the moment, because name another one. You know what I mean? Off the top of my head, I can't think of one to lead the Houston Texans. Like, let's put that in big bold letters, the Houston Texans to the playoffs. First
big
year.
Big deal.
And he missed a couple games with a concussion. So, and they lost a couple of them games he missed. So to get them, I think you might be right. He is the best rookie quarterback ever.
All right, so let me change it up. Let me make it a little more hard for Joe. Joe, where does C.J. Stroud? Is he top 20? Is he top 15? Is he top 10? Is he top 5 quarterback in the league right now?
I think he's top 10, to be honest. I think Juju hit the nail on the head, man. What he did with that organization that was in total shitstorm last season, took him to the playoffs this year, and not only made him respectable, but he instantly captured that locker room. Like, he got the respect of everybody in that locker room. He got them to work harder. And to me, that's the mark of a great quarterback. That's the mark of a tier one quarterback, is when they believe in you, that they feel like they have a chance to win every single game they go in. It makes everybody work harder, because they don't want to be the one that lets him down. And the fact that I said it in the offseason that he's the best quarterback in the draft, and you were telling everybody on all of your big networks that you're working for that he's not smart enough and he can't read defense, he's not going to be anything in the NFL. It perfectly aligns with all the crappy takes that you've had over the years on the Tomahawk Show. And I'm glad we got the cut-ups to be able to show it right now.
Look at this. See, you can go to my Instagram right now and see the last
sorry, I broke up. I couldn't hear you, Hawk. It must be bad connection here in Germany.
Look, CJ Stroud is legit. I'm going to put him in the top 5. I think he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now.
What's the top 5? What's the list?
Off the top, and you guys keep me honest. Let me know if I'm forgetting anybody, because I do have football brain.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. All right, Lamar's up there, MVP. Mahomes is in the top 5.
Number 1.
I would put Stafford is playing top five.
Okay.
Right now in this season. Dak is top 5. And then I would probably put CJ number 5.
Wow. Mine is blown in here.
What do you want? Josh Allen?
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just
give me
your
who
list.
Am I missing? Somebody.
This is your list. So I respect the parameters of your list.
I'm trying to think who am I forgetting?
No Justin Herbert, no Tua Tagovailoa, no Josh Allen, Zach Wilson. I mean, you're missing all the big dogs.
Name me any of those quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers?
No. I don't want any of those quarterbacks going into the playoffs more than I want C.J. Stroud.
Geno Smith?
Joe Flacco?
Nope. I love Flacco. Of course I want Flacco in my heart.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking on the game tape, I'm looking at the film, I'm going with C.J. Stroud. What C.J. Stroud has done, not just because of the numbers. The numbers game is easy because it's like, oh, quarterback's interception. He's a rookie. I can't believe it. But when you watch him play, yo, the dude gets better as the game goes on. If you even watch the two films from the Colts at the beginning of the season, which he played well in, versus the Colts in this last game, it looks like a rookie sensation versus an all-pro. Like, that's the level of C.J. Stroud, because this dude is so cool under pressure. Right. Nothing gets to him. He knows the answer to the test. You can't send any blitz at him. You can't send any coverage at him that he won't diagnose and make a throw at the last possible second on the money.
Awkwardly.
That is so rare. He had a situation where he had to come back and win two games for them to be the division champs in the playoffs. The fact that he answered that call with two of his best games of the season tells you more about him than anything. And I'm not bashing Josh Allen.
Right.
But last night was a need-to-have-it game. They did pull it out.
Right.
But Josh Allen made it tough.
You're right about that. You're right about that, John.
And that's something to say for quarterbacks in that moment, Joe.
Does C.J. Stroud have a sophomore slump? You know, we've seen so many of these quarterbacks. They have a good first season. Everybody gets a bunch of tape on them. They break them down in the offseason. They figure out strengths and weaknesses. They come up with some good defenses to be able to handle them. And then all of a sudden, it seems like they have this little bit of a slump, a little trough. And then a lot of them bounce back out of it. We saw a little bit with Lamar Jackson. You know, he came on the scene. Nobody knew how to handle him. Yep. All of a sudden, teams went out. They started playing a lot of zone, a lot of 6DB stuff where they got everybody's eyes on him. And they kind of contained him for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, boom, he burst back up. And now he's the MVP of the league. Does C.J. Stroud have that sophomore slump?
I think there will be some of that. I don't think he's going to play bad. I think he's still going to play great.
Yeah.
I think it's not going to be as easy as it was the first year because, to your point, now everybody – he's not sneaking up on anybody else in year two. And we've seen this with all the great quarterbacks. There's always a dip because now they know we have to – we're going to spend our whole offseason figuring out how to stop you because we're going to see you twice a year and we have to make it hard on you. Yeah. But that being said, I think he has
But we're saying he's the best rookie of all time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's going to be the first guy that never has that little slump after they get a book on him.
I won't say he'll be the first guy not to have a slump. I think the curve will be a lot less than what we saw previously.
Right.
Right? And even in Lamar Jackson or the Patrick Mahomes, Lamar's about to be a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
At 26 years old.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes was a 26-year-old two-time MVP. You know what I'm saying? And even they had a slump.
Yeah.
And I think C.J. Stroud is in that vein of player from what we saw this year. He is not guessing, and sometimes you can guess right, especially as a young player.
Yeah.
Like, you get a little bit of beginner's luck, to your point, Joe, because people aren't really prepared for you.
Yeah.
But
like you said, Will Levis had that 1 week.
Yeah,
you
and
was
what
right.
Happened?
You was right in
what
there.
What happened with Will Levis?
Locked in on Will Levis, and it was cursed.
It was like, you ain't heard from him no more.
Right.
That is what happens. But C.J. Stroud, they have not been able to do that in season. It's going to take a whole offseason for them to break down that with the time that they need. And again, that's just very special. I think he has a demeanor to him, kind of like Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Burrow was very much the same way. Like, you ain't stopping Joe Burrow.
Right.
If Joe Burrow healthy and he plays bad a game, it ain't going to be two games.
Right.
And if he plays bad for it, like, it's only a matter of time for he's like, all right, I'm in control of this. C.J. Stroud is very in that Joe Burrow lane, who I did not have in my top five, but he's hurt.
Right.
So he don't count.
Yeah, you changed my mind. I'm going to just let you know.
All right, well, you in on it.
Look, I am a believer now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with our last segment talking more NFL playoffs and extra points.
Yes, y'all, and we don't stop.
All right, last segment here for the Tomahawk Show. We have not recorded in a couple of weeks, and I'm sad, too, because we don't have Fat Nat here with us. We would be remiss if we did not shout out Fat Nat, who could not be with us this week. But
we would also be remiss if we didn't shout out Fat Nat's Bang Bang Niner gang going down to the Ravens flock over this little break. I know she was feeling a certain
pizzazz. That's probably really why she's not here.
Right. Salute to Fat Nat. Get well soon, my sister.
Yeah. She's trying to get a show under her belt before they come back because Lamar Jackson definitely did it to you on national television, Niner gang. But that being said, the kind of biggest conversation we had since we've been out was the Racism Bowl. I don't know. Everybody was talking about it. The all-white team versus the all-black team, former NFL running back Rashad Mendenhall came out and said that the Pro Bowl should be changed to an all-black, all-white, and it sparked a lot of conversation, mostly jokes, which was the best part of it, which is why you love football. Yeah. Number one, the take is crazy because that's what makes football great, is that you need a little bit of everybody for it truly to work.
Right.
But Will Compton, friend of the show, from Bustin' with the Boys, came out with his all-white squad. And,
yeah,
you know, the conversation kind of came and went. So we're a little late. But it wouldn't be an all-black squad if we weren't a little late. So this is our opportunity, Juju, in studio here to talk about it with my man Joe, who, if you did an all-time all-white squad, I am 1,000% sure Joe Thomas makes the squad.
Right.
No
Absolutely,
doubt.
Absolutely, for sure.
That's their left tackle.
For sure.
All-time all-white, yeah. Joe Thomas is the left tackle, which is saying something.
Yeah, for sure.
Football's been around a very long time. Joe, first off, congratulations. Number two, what were your thoughts on the race war bowl? I don't know what the official name for it.
Right. I thought it was interesting, but it's kind of fun to think about Rashard Mendenhall because he does have some wild takes, and I know he's had some struggles mentally over the years. And I think when he made this take, like, he was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameis Winston, not to compare the two, but like when he says crazy stuff, he got a lot more people that like hearing from him because he says it with such joy in his voice and
and his happiness. Eyes.
Like when he says, yeah, everyone was following me. I think that's a little bit of a difference between the two of those guys. But when I heard about this take, the first thing I thought was, wow, this is really going to get interesting on Twitter. And it sure did. But shout out to Will Compton because he did a great job kind of steering the conversation on social media from like all the haters coming out and people making it like this evil race thing to like, hey, let's have some fun with it. And like, let's see how deep we can dive into this thing while having a good time with it and keeping it light and show to the world that America has moved a little bit. We've moved the ball a little bit away from our racist past into an ability to kind of laugh at ourselves about our racial differences. And that, you know, we've proven that we've matured a little bit. And so I like that. And my favorite take, I don't know who said this, but they were talking, I think it was maybe on pardon my take. They were asking like, okay, we know like certain positions, it's obviously going to be pretty heavily dominated by one side or the other, especially in the secondary.
Yes,
you know, Jason Sehorn is about the only white guy that would even have a chance to sniff coverage in this bowl. He would still get smoked.
Uh-huh.
But when you start talking about the officials, like that's one that we really could really dive pretty deep into it because I'm not sure who's on that all-pro black and all-pro white officiating squad.
Who's officiating?
That's definitely a conversation I'd love to
You got to have half and half to officiate it, right? I mean, the literal jersey for the ref is black and white.
Right.
So you got to have half and half. That is...
Oh, the Hockley's father and son, Ed and his daddy.
Yeah, Hockley's?
Both Hockley's? Ed and Sean, for sure.
Oh, the Hockley's are in it. Absolutely.
Just for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But no, for sure. I mean, it is... to say America has moved past its racial past...
Yeah.
That is a... That's a nuanced take.
Right.
And I will give you...
I don't know if I cut out when I said that. What I said was we've moved the ball slightly beyond where we were with our tough racial history.
And index cards worth of progression.
We're proving that we're moving in the right direction.
Okay,
there
you go.
We're able to laugh about some of the differences culturally, and we've come together a bit.
I agree, especially on this point, because it was such a ridiculous take that everyone did make light of it. It was like, okay, we all know this is a crazy take in the game of football. Yeah. Basketball, it might have got a little bit more tense.
Right.
Because when they started drafting, there wouldn't have been as large of a pool. But in football, in our beautiful sport, you literally – like, cannot make that argument with a straight face and really have any validation to it. That being said, Joe, I do like the all-black squad. I like Will Compton's team. I just think at corner, you guys have too much liability back there. To your point, Jason Sehorn, Dick LeBeau is like 100 years old. He's probably the other.
Barbecue chicken. You just put two barbecue chickens up right there.
I'm saying, Joe, what are you guys doing at the cornerback position?
Three of them.
That's what I want to know.
Well, that's the biggest problem, right? Like, I don't think that there's any white guys out there, no matter how racist they are, that can really make a solid argument that there's one position that the whites have dominated the way the blacks have dominated in the secondary.
Uh-huh.
And so there's really no equal playing field. Like, it's just how many points do the blacks have to give us whites to call it Like, all right, we get 8 points, we get 9 points. Now we can scheme it up a little bit and try to lose by less than a touchdown and find a way to call that a victory. Because even if you're playing soft zone with like eight white DBs out there, like, we're still getting roasted by the all-time black receiver team.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I was going to say at receiver, give me, I don't know, anybody. Right. Because we're only running all go.
Right.
And also, Mike McDaniel is our offensive coordinator. I've seen some takes that he was on the white squad. And no, because the Niners got a Rooney Rule pick when he left for the Miami Dolphins. They didn't get 25% of a pick. They got the whole thing. That is our OC. We're running all go. And again, Dick LeBeau on one side, Allen from Remember the Titans on the other side.
Staring down
AJ Brown and Tyreek and
Randy Moss and one on this side and Justin Jefferson on this side and Tyreek in the slot.
Joe, I will say at tight end, we have not been holding up our end of the market at tight end.
I feel like Joku putting up a Hall of Fame.
Joku is doing great. Right. He is our only option right now at the tight end. That is definitively held by the all-white squad at the moment.
Where does Tony Gonzalez fall? Because I feel like he's...
If we're all-time, we're good.
However, right. He is one of... Maybe you could make a real good argument he's the greatest tight end of all time, but honestly, I don't know what his racial background is. His last name's Gonzalez.
Right.
There's a lot going on there. I don't know.
Would you allow some type of drafting, like first person to...
I mean, they might honestly.
There might be petition hard for them.
There might be a mixed race team that might wash all of us.
Go crazy,
to be honest, it might go nuts. And if we're going all time mixed race, Gonzalez is probably the tight end. But I would also say, if it's currently, is what I was thinking, and I would have made an argument 2 years ago.
Mm.
I would have petitioned for Travis Kelce 2 years ago, but now he's a Swiftie, and you get no argument or pushback from me there.
Right, we shadow at
so if it's current players, then there is no secondary elements that are white. We're going to have to take all New England slot receivers and move them to the secondary for the all-white team.
For sure. I mean, we could probably do a trade. We could probably trade a couple DBs for some tight ends and then make it a real good game at that point.
Well, I'll give you Algie Crumpler.
Right. You give us a healthy Laporta, and we'll give you Xavier Howard, and we'll... Now we got a ball game that someone's signing up for.
For sure.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode of the Tomahawk Show. We appreciate all of you joining in. We're happy to be back. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Shout out to the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. And, of course, all of the Tomahawk. Make sure you check us out anywhere you listen to podcasts, on the Lebatard Show YouTube page, and on the DraftKings Network at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. Without further ado, Joe, take us out.
Quick final thoughts. Everyone's had that welcome to the NFL moment that's played in the NFL. Well, I had my welcome to the European League of Football moment when I had my first workout with my group. The tight end, who's our starting tight end, came up to me in the middle of our workout and asked what size shoes I wear. And I was like, well, that's a weird question. I'm a 15. He goes, oh, I need to talk to you after. I'm like, okay, maybe he's got a pair of shoes he wants me to try on because he knows that I got bad shoe game. Talk to him after. Turns out he doesn't have cleats and he can't find size 15 cleats. Oh, and so he asked me if he could have my old pair of cleats. And that's when I realized that we're not in the NFL anymore. Outfeeder Zane, Joe Hawkinson.
'Cause it's your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.